Well, let's pray as we come together to understand a little better God's word. Heavenly Father, give us the eyes to see, give us the ears to grasp, your spirit to teach us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but as I look on bread, especially when it's kind of half eaten and been torn apart, kind of left over, it doesn't get me very excited. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I'd rather have pizza. But actually, what I want us to do is I want us to grasp a little. And this is the worst thing to ask me to preach on, because I want to get you up to speed so much on this passage that either I'm going to go on for 45 minutes or I'm going to have to point you to bits to grasp a little more of all that's going on in John's Gospel. But let me ask you a first question. Familiar words, I am. Who said, I am the greatest? Muhammad Ali. Who said, I am the one and only? Chesney Hawks, very good. Who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life?
Jesus.
Who said, I am the good shepherd?
Jesus.
Who said, I am the light of the world?
Jesus.
Who said, I am? Well, that's, I think, what we need to grasp as we get into John's Gospel. So turn with me, if you've not got it open, because I am going to be referring to bits before, bits afterwards, and it will be helpful. John, actually, some of you probably have been scarred. 3 years ago, we went through the whole of John. I loved it, and this excites me as I come back into John, and this section at the end of chapter 6. So what's going on so far? Well, we have to understand a little bit that John's gospel is not comprehensive. John has not put in his gospel everything that he could have put in there. Why? Because there's three other gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, okay, have already written their gospels, and John probably read their gospels and went, I'm going to put in the bits that they don't put in. How do we know that? Well, John tells us that actually Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples. This is John chapter 20, verses 31, if you want to follow it. But these are written. So Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. John's saying, I haven't been able to put everything in here. If you want to read more, go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They've got other stories I haven't put in here. But I've put these in here for a purpose. That you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So we know that John is picking and choosing stories from Jesus that help us to see who he is, and so that we may fall more in love with him. So John has, and as we read this gospel, I think, more than the others, he's got the whole of Scripture in mind. You're going to see him pulling on bits of the rest of the Bible all together. Have you seen one of those paintings where, you know, you look at the painting and you look closely and there's lots of different little pictures? You know, there's loads of different pictures, and then you stand back and you look and go, my goodness, that is an amazing portrait. Have you seen those ones? Yeah, you've seen those kind of things. Well, imagine we're going to be taken to the small and see Jesus calling himself the bread of life, and then we're going to go and feeding of the 5,000. We're going to be taken to Moses. We're going to be taken to other parts of the Bible, and then we're going to stand back and go, wow. That's what I want us to do in the 45 minutes that I've got now. So the whole of Scripture is in mind. And Jesus, at the end of the day, in one word, it's all about Jesus. And we know that because John again told us. What did John tell us? In John 5:39, John reminds us of what Jesus said. Jesus tells his disciples in John 5:39, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. They were taking it as an academic exercise. They were looking at the Bible. And what should they be doing? These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Can you see the problem? So John is going to help us to see that how the scriptures do point to Jesus and how we don't miss the point of coming to him and not just an academic intellectual lecture on some Jewish history that we have here. He wants us to understand that actually we love Jesus, so we want to know who he is and the gift that he has for us. So again, you know the road to Emmaus? When they were on the walking on the road to Emmaus, Jesus resurrected, walks alongside them. They don't realize who he is. And then they realize who he is as he breaks the bread. And then suddenly he says, look, starting with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus was there. Now, if you haven't grasped that, Jesus was there, then your mind's going to be blown. Why? Because actually this is where John is going to go, look, I'm going to take you back to the very beginning. I'm going to take you back to the very beginning because before Abraham was, I am. Now, we know the word I am. It is how God referred to himself. It was how Moses, as he stood before God, the burning bush, he says, what do I call you? What do I tell people who you are? And he says, I am who I am. Which means, basically, I was, I am, I will be. I don't change. In fact, actually, I'm outside of time, if that helps you. That really is. I created time, therefore I'm bigger than time. So I am. So when we get to John's Gospel, and we read the bit before that we read. I told you I was going to go mad on too much. But what's the story that happened just before the bit that we read today? Jesus was on the walking on the water. Jesus walking on the water. You know the story. There's a storm. The disciples were in the boat. Suddenly Jesus comes walking along the water. And what does he say? He says, don't be afraid. I am, or it is I. That's what he says. It's the same in Greek. It's an acknowledgement that I am. What does it say a little later in John's Gospel? We have a little later on that revelation where, as we said earlier on, before Abraham was, I am. We're going to see that Jesus is so much bigger than just a miracle worker who provides loaves and fishes for people. Well, that's what we're going to see. So, that's the context of where we've got to today. And that Jesus claims to be, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and life. The fact that he just says, I am, is in and of itself blasphemy, unless he is really, truly God. So that's just the introduction, and my 30 minutes starts now. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to grasp who Jesus truly is. And may this just whet our appetite to delve more deeply into the revelation of the I Ams. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the situation was, let me ask you, what is the situation? You've come here to church. Why? The coffee's nice, isn't it? Tea's great. The fellowship is quite fun. It's great to be here, part to belong. But actually, Jesus was followed by a crowd. They had just been fed by the 5,000. We mentioned that. That's the beginning of chapter 6. And now they're following him again. They're following him, kind of waiting for him to do, what are you going to do next, Bertie? What are you going to do next, Jesus, was basically what they were doing. And Jesus exposes their motive. That's what we see here. Rabbi, when did you get here? Chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Oh, ouch. Busted. Jesus has just gone, look, you're doing the right thing, but just totally for the wrong reason. You're waiting for the next McDonald's or lunch or whatever it is that you think I'm going to provide magically. And he says, what you've missed is this, is the sign. There's been a big sign. And the sign, you may think the sign looks exciting, but it's not. The sign is just a sign pointing to something else. This is a piece of metal and plastic and numbers. 5 mile an hour, it's not very exciting, is it? But the truth is this, is that a sign is a sign because it points to something else. Jesus feeds the 5,000, not because that's the really exciting bit, because it points to something else. It is a sign. They'd miss the point. They were just excited about the metal, the sign, the bread. Oh, they need to get excited about who Jesus is. So, Jesus says to them, stop. Stop working for food that spoils. Verse 27. Stop. Stop chasing after the stuff that will only temporarily fill you. Stop chasing after things that are just of the now, and in a day or two you'll have forgotten about them, and then you'll be chasing after something else. Stop chasing after the temporary. And he says, look for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. They should be spotting the signs. It's right that they've noticed the signs. Praise the Lord, but they haven't realized that they were signs. Good, follow Jesus. Bad, just expect the next meal to come from him. So what is our motive for following Jesus? Have you asked yourself, what's your motive? You might follow Jesus for health, wealth and happiness, believing that he'll give that to you. Maybe you're following Jesus because of the peace that will come, the fulfillment that will come, the church family that comes with it. But have you noticed that all of those things are not seeking Jesus for who he is, but for what he can give you? It's like having a child and them loving you just because you give them presents for Christmas. Actually, that's not true love. That's not a healthy relationship. That's what we get to see here exposed. They're good things, God things, but seek God. Seek the things that really matter. Seek the things that are eternal. And you think, boom, great, lesson learned. No, read on with me. Verse 28. They don't get the point. They then turn around and go, well, what must we do to do the work God requires? What must we do? Should we pray more? Should we go to church more? Should we read our Bible more? What should we do? And the answer is, Jesus has done it. Jesus is going to do it. It's not about what you do. It's about what he has done and what he will do. Can you see the massive shift? Our work is therefore to believe. That's it. Your job is to believe. Malcolm, you don't need to do any more than just believe. Quite simply, Jesus has done it all for you. Bertie. Okay, don't try and earn or do anything that will earn. No. Believe. Believe. Because Jesus has done it. And that's the big theme in John's Gospel. If you want to read the whole of John's Gospel so far, ring around every time you come across the word believe, you'll see it's a massive theme in the whole of his Gospel. And what release that brings, what freedom that brings. You don't have to do anything because Christ has done it all. All you need to do is believe in him and what he has done. Do you think they've got it by now? Verse 30, no. Verse 30. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Oh my goodness. I've just fed 5,000. Do you want another one? Yes, please. Verse 31. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Oh, what irony. What have they done? They've gone to Moses. They've gone to Moses. I went, look, Moses' magic was better than your magic. Come on. Can you do better than that? And Jesus, rather than telling them off, he corrects them lovingly. He says, actually, let me point out, it wasn't Moses that provided the bread, was it? Who was it? It was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. It was God that gave the bread. It wasn't Moses. At times, Moses was a pain in the backside. He was almost as bad as all the rest of the Israelites. It wasn't him that did it. Instead, God is the hero of the story, not Moses. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The big reveal, the point that we're getting to, the sign that it actually is pointing to is this. Sir, they said, give us this bread. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. It's at that point that you go, oh, I've just realized. Do you know the story of Moses and the feeding in the wilderness and the desert? And they were just about to die and God provided for them. He says, that was just the precursor. That was just a shadow of the big event, which was Jesus coming to people who lived at lost in the wilderness, dead in their sin, needing saving. And he came to rescue them, to bring life where there was death. Can you see? Jesus is Exodus 2.0. Now that's the picture here. Jesus is bringing us out of slavery. Jesus is bringing life where there is death. I am the bread of life, Jesus declares. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Like the bread, it doesn't look like much, but it represents so much. We need to guard ourselves from chasing after the temporary, just being dazzled by the signs, and actually realizing that it is Jesus that we are to come to delight in. It is he that we are to feed on. It is he who is the greater Moses. It is he who's going to bring life where there is death. He is the one that will fulfill us and feed us. And the next little bit just encourages us. We get a little bit of a glimpse of what's going on. But as I told you, Jesus says, you've seen me and still you do not believe. And he says, look, all those that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He assures them of the welcome of the Father and says that God has called those that he's going to call. They'll come to me. They will. And I will never drive any of them away. I won't go, I'll have you and I won't have you. He says, all those that come to me that the Father has called to me, I will welcome. And he then goes on and tells us, what's the will of God? For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. It's the will of the Father and of the Son. They are united as one. And what is their will? Their will is that none shall be lost. I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. There's a welcome awaiting those that God has called. There is the desire of the Father that none will be lost. And there is that security and the joy of winning. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes on him, not everyone who does their best and tries their hardest, not everyone who goes to church, not everyone who says their prayers, not everyone who does this or does that. It is everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life and will raise them up on the last day. So come to the Son. Come to the one who is the bread of life. What great security and comfort there is in Jesus. But what must I do? Is what I was screaming, kind of going, so how am I going to finish this sermon? What shall I tell him to do? It's exactly flying in the opposite direction to the whole point of the passage. What do I tell you to do? Believe in the Son. Believe that he's done it. He's achieved it. Believe that you're going to get fulfilled. Believe that you're going to be satisfied in him. Believe that he is more than you could ever dream. And that is what you are called to do. Don't go chasing after signs and the next miracle, but be grateful for them when they come, when God gives them to you. But remember that this is Jesus. And this is just the beginning of the I Am series. Fall in love with him, if you haven't already, and delight on him as you would feed on bread, knowing that in him you have life. I'd like to say, well, they'd got it. But actually, if we'd carried on reading, they then start grumbling again, if you read a little further on. But Jesus reveals to them, look, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Of course, there's echoes of communion, but we're not there. I'm not taking you there. But there is a little bit of that. Ooh, you can see how another piece of the puzzle comes together to fill the big picture of who Jesus is, because it's all about Jesus. But for the moment, let's finish with that realization that God has called you not to chase the temporary, to rejoice in the signs that he gives you, but actually come to Jesus, the living bread. Feed on him, delight in him as your perfect Moses that brings salvation where there was just death once. Crave to love him more, be satisfied by him more, delighted by him more. Feed on him, his words, and that relationship that he offers you this day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. And we thank you for the insight that we have into your discussion with those that were following the crowd and how they fell in the pitfalls that so many of us fall in, seeking just to earn our way to salvation and to do something. And yet, thank you for Jesus, the I Am. Thank you that he is the bread of life, the one who brings life where there was just death. Help us to grasp a little more how much you love us. We ask for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.